Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Among the startling revelations of among the startling and grim realities we Trump supporters have had to face since Election Day 2020 are that not only is there a lot of evidence that the election was stolen via a large-scale and well-organized conspiracy, and that the and that the evidence was largely covered up, but much of our institutions of government, including our own CIA, FBI, Department of Justice, and most of the Supreme Court justices, have participated in or at least supported that cover-up. These institutions appear to be largely compromised and working on behalf of the communist Chinese and its allies, their allies, rather, the fabulously wealthy and powerful globalist oligarchs and their corporations doing lucrative business deals with the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP, and raking in billions as a result. Perhaps even more disturbing than all of this is the fact that many millions of our fellow Americans are largely asleep to the perils we face as a nation and civilization, with the stolen 2020 election being only one part of a larger plot to destroy Western civilization and hand us over to the oligarch's masters in communist China. The CCP has a plan well publicized. You can find articles on it by doing a search on any non-CCP controlled search engine to dominate the world by 2049, which is the 100th anniversary of the communist takeover of mainland China. Under the leadership faction of the CCP's current leader, Xi Jinping, the CCP has made little attempt to hide its aggressive behavior toward the USA and the West, not to mention the rest of the world. Trump is right. The US and other Western countries have made the CCP rich with our money, showering the communists with a cornucopia of cash and favorable economic treatment, such as not holding CCP companies trading on U.S. stock exchanges to the same accounting principles as domestic companies, and giving communist China most favored nation trading status. As a result, their economic power has grown exponentially in recent years, and they are showering U.S. and other Western nation oligarchs with cash and profits, including a vast cheap labor force for relocated manufacturing facilities, in return for loyalty and complicity in China's policies and aggressive activities toward other nations, particularly the U.S. The irony for me about this situation is that these stupid business people can't seem to recognize or learn from the history of communism and foolishly believe that they will remain powerful and wealthy under a communistic world government they are promoting for their masters in the CCP. I keep remembering Vladimir Lenin's famous comment, quote, "When it comes time to hang the capitalists, they'll be eager to sell us the rope," unquote. In light of recent events, it's obvious these ultra-capitalists are just as eager to help dismantle the U.S. and hand it over to their CCP masters. Despite all this, there are many good American patriots and those in other countries fighting to turn this nightmare around and save our beloved republic and the West. It remains to be seen if we will succeed. If we don't, I and many thousands, perhaps millions, of Americans will disappear. But unless that happens, we don't intend to give up. And of course, all of us sincerely hope and pray that such a cataclysm can be avoided. I'll be reading from a recent article by one such patriot toward the end of this program, whose views I largely agree with, including that priority number one of our mission must be to awaken many more people to these dangers. This will be no easy task, but the battle goes on. Let's start out today by listening to an episode of Fox's Tucker Carlson Tonight Show from earlier this month, in which Tucker reveals how U.S. mainstream media organizations were paid millions by communist China to produce propaganda lies that China was not responsible for the COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, this is still in dispute, but the evidence is increasingly dominant that it originated in China. Essentially, what this makes clear is that our mainstream media, I call them the mainstream Marxist mouthpiece media, are on the take for and largely controlled by the CCP. Fortunately for those of us who know this, there is a large and growing alternative media out there in America today fighting to get the truth and facts out to the public. If our enemies have their way, however, this alternative media will eventually be silenced and wiped out. For now, at least, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is still largely in effect. Please play soundbite one.
Last summer, as the COVID pandemic raged throughout the United States, people who still read the New York Times began to notice something very strange happening at the paper. Hundreds of articles that had appeared there going back nearly a decade suddenly vanished. They disappeared. There's no way to find them. Nothing like this had ever happened. The New York Times considers itself, very self-consciously, a living historical record. The paper maintains meticulous, searchable archives going back to before the Civil War, to 1851. Yet last August, a huge number of articles just disappeared. So what was in those articles? We know the answer because a handful of history-minded readers preserved them when they first appeared. Every one of them was a propaganda piece paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, all designed to look like news articles. You're seeing one of them on your screen right now. It reads, China Watch. Diaoyu Islands belong to China. That's the headline. Now, why would the New York Times, America's paper of record, print propaganda from a totalitarian regime and pretend it was a news article? Well, for money. Financial filings show the New York Times made more than $100,000 a month from this garbage. Those payments were not disclosed at the time. They were hidden from New York Times readers. They were only uncovered after the fact by the Washington Free Beacon. And the Times wasn't the only news organization that did this, that took money from the Chinese Communist Party. Since 2016, the Chinese Communist Party paid $20 million to outlets like the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, and the Washington Post. Twitter, which now operates as a publisher, also received checks from the Chinese government totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, these arrangements, as we said, continued for years, and then last summer, they stopped abruptly. The New York Times tried to hide the evidence that any of it ever happened. But why? The New York Times won't say when we ask. We do not discuss revenue beyond what is in our quarterly earnings report, a spokesman told us this morning. So we kept looking. But first, here's some context for what the New York Times did. This is what mainstream news coverage in the United States looked like for most of last year. As you watch it, see if you can tell the difference between this and what you might see on Chinese state television.
The president referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. And I think it's going to smack, it's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia.
Xenophobic wartime Trump, where he thinks the only path now is to basically declare the virus public enemy number one, to paint it in somewhat racist terms.
The xenophobia and the racism in outbreak is such a common thing, and it is incredibly dangerous. It is problematic, and it is scary, and I just really want to call that out.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? Why do you keep using this? A lot of people say it's racist.
It's not racist at all, no, not at all. It comes from China. That's why.
So as this virus emerged from central China to kill Americans in huge numbers and people throughout the West, news organizations in this country made the same aggressively pro-China noises, almost all of them. Politico, for example, hired a full-time China shill called David Wertheim to write articles with headlines like this, quote, "The verdict is in. China has outperformed while the once respected American system has disastrously faltered." Now, as you read that, once again, you wonder, how is that different from what the Chinese would write about themselves? Well, it's not different. The American media were especially hysterical on the question of where the coronavirus came from. Under no circumstances were you allowed to entertain the possibility that that coronavirus, COVID-19, could have come from a lab in Wuhan, China. That was a conspiracy theory. All the footage you're about to see is from early 2020.
Former CDC Director Robert Redfield told our own Sanjay Gupta in a new CNN documentary that he believes COVID-19 originated from a lab in Wuhan, even though, obviously, there has been no formal evidence to support the theory.
You know, the lab leak theory doesn't seem like a plausible theory unless you aggregate the biggest collection of coronaviruses and put them in a lab.
The theory that the virus originated in a lab in Wuhan, China. But tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci tells National Geographic that, quote, this virus could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated.
Both scientists and the U.S. intelligence community agree that this coronavirus was not man-made. That is not a possibility. It came from a natural source. It didn't come from a lab. A lot of people on the right love that phrase, escape from the lab, because it sounds like something from a Marvel movie or a comic book. It sounds like they're talking about a man-made virus that China was weaponizing that got out of control.
So the Rachel Maddow impersonator didn't believe it. But it wasn't just dumb people on cable news. That was Anthony Fauci, who was in charge of the U.S. government's COVID response. That was Scott Gottlieb, who ran the FDA. These are people in positions of authority, who are respected as scientists, whose word carries great moral weight, and they all lied. The New York Times led the way on this. A recent piece on unheard.com deconstructs the New York Times' role in the propaganda effort on behalf of China. Beginning in the winter of last year, at the very beginning of the outbreak of COVID, The Times confidently dismissed the lab leak hypothesis as a, quote, fringe theory. In other words, only lunatics believe it. The New York Times' reporter called the theory, quote, the kind of conspiracy once reserved for the tinfoil hatters. You're a nutcase if you think it's possible. Then a few weeks later, the paper published an op-ed by Peter Daszak, the virologist paid by Tony Fauci to experiment on bat coronaviruses. Talk about a conflict of interest. So Daszak, needless to say, denied that the virus could have come from any lab he was funding. He knew better. Instead, Daszak blamed the pandemic, and we're quoting now, on road building, deforestation, land clearing, and agricultural development. In other words, he blamed it on poor people. As 2020 continued, lies like this became less and less tenable. They were more obviously untrue. People started to notice that a level 4 virology lab, one of few in the world, in Wuhan, was conducting dangerous experiments on bat coronaviruses with fewer safeguards than typical dentist's office has in the United States. They also noticed that Tony Fauci was helping to pay for those experiments. And that's when the Times decided it had to delete those articles from its archives. Two high-level employees at the New York Times confirmed to The Spectator in London that the paper stopped any investigation into evidence that the coronavirus had emerged from that lab in Wuhan. Quote, in early 2020, said one whistleblower, I suggested to a senior editor of the paper that we investigate the origins of COVID-19. I was told it was dangerous to run a piece about the origins of the coronavirus. There was resistance to running anything that could suggest that COVID-19 was man-made or had leaked accidentally from a lab. It was untouchable everywhere, said another Times source to The Spectator. The fact that Trump embraced it, of course, also made it a no-go. According to the whistleblowers, though, the biggest factor wasn't politics. The biggest factor was the fact that the New York Times was taking money from the communist Chinese government. So they killed a story which, by the way, was not a conspiracy theory at all, but entirely real. The House Foreign Affairs Committee just released a report suggesting the coronavirus first escaped from that lab in Wuhan much earlier than we thought, way back in mid-September of 2019. Now, at the time, athletes from around the world were in Wuhan. They arrived several weeks later to compete in international games. Many of them brought COVID home with them. Now, why didn't we know this until now? Well, because of a massive and coordinated lying campaign on behalf of the government of China. The Foreign Affairs Committee identifies Peter Daszak, who, irony of ironies, is still, by the way, used by the Washington Post as an authority on the origin of COVID. They describe him as, quote, the public face of a Chinese Communist Party disinformation campaign designed to suppress public discussion about a potential lab leak, end quote. The committee discovered evidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology sought bids for two contracts in September of 2019. That was around the time the coronavirus began to spread. One of those contracts was for something called a, quote, security service procurement project, and it was issued on September 12th. Now, September 12th was the very same day that the Wuhan lab abruptly took its entire virus database offline. Then, just 4 days later, the Wuhan lab announced another contract competition. This time, the contract was for a $600 million effort to completely renovate the lab's air conditioning system. Now, why would the Wuhan Institute of Virology want to replace its air conditioning system? Well, just like the Times dispatches from the Beijing Bureau, all evidence of those contracts has now been wiped from the website of China's finance ministry. What does this add up to? John Ratcliffe is the former director of national intelligence in this country. He just wrote an op-ed on FoxNews.com that includes this assessment, quote, I had access to all of the U.S. government's most sensitive intelligence related to the pandemic. My informed opinion is that the lab leak theory isn't just a possibility. At the very least, it is more like a probability, if not very close to a certainty. John Ratcliffe joins us tonight. John Ratcliffe, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate
Tucker,
it.
Good to see you.
So,
you bet.
So many implications here, but you were one of the very few people in a position to make the statement that you just did. You believe that the theory that this virus emerged from the Wuhan virology lab to infect the world is almost certainly true. Why do you believe that?
Well, Tucker, it's not just me. The other folks that had the most access to the most sensitive information, folks like Secretary of State Pompeo, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, all of us that had access to that intelligence have long believed that the most likely outcome of where this virus came from an origin standpoint, was the Wuhan Institute of Virology, based on intelligence that we have. The question was, how much of that could we publicly disclose? And in January, one of the reasons that I worked with Secretary Pompeo to put out the fact sheet that we did, disclosing many of the factors that you just outlined about circumstances at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, was we wanted to put as much information as we could out there without jeopardizing our sources and methods into our eyes and ears, right, if you will, into the Chinese Communist Party.
I noticed that the Biden administration, which has controlled the federal government for more than 6 months now, still seems to be hiding this information. If this is true, and it seems almost certain that it is true, as you said, what are the implications of this? The Chinese government has basically destroyed American society and our economy. So how do we respond to that?
Well, that's why I wrote the op-ed. I mean, one of the first opportunities for the international community to actually do something instead of a strongly worded letter or some rhetoric is to take action. And, you know, Tucker, if you look objectively at China's conduct over the last year or so, millions of Muslim Uyghurs either murdered, tortured, raped, or imprisoned, and 4 million people worldwide impacted by a virus that originated and was covered up by the Chinese Communist Party, will be hosting the Winter Olympics. Now, of all of the despotic regimes around the world, I can't think of any country that is less deserving than having the world's athletes paraded into their country for a festival and celebration of international goodwill and friendship. The United States needs to lead on this issue, along with the countries of the world, and say, look, you can't say, come to Beijing for the Olympics on one hand, and on the other hand, say, go to hell with your investigation into the origins of COVID-19, which is exactly what the Chinese Communist Party is doing. So, you know, it's time to get past tough rhetoric and to hold China accountable. And it's a great opportunity for the Biden administration to do that. They've acknowledged the genocide of Muslim Uyghurs, and they've acknowledged that China has even turned their back on the World Health Organization. So time for the Biden administration to put up action that would support the rhetoric and lead on this.
So it's interesting that all the so-called human rights community, Freedom House and Ann Applebaum at the Washington Post and Max Boot and all the people who care so deeply about human rights around the world, all give China a pass. You kind of wonder why that is. John Ratcliffe, I appreciate your coming on tonight. Thank you.
You
for
bet.
That. I think we
Thanks,
can
Tucker.
Declare this mystery solved.
Now let's hear a segment from radio host Alex Jones on his show July 31 about the Biden administration being set at the behest of their puppet masters, the CCP and globalists, to impose a large-scale new COVID-19 restrictions as part of a master plan to disrupt and again steal the U.S. midterm elections in 2022 and thus keep and solidify the power of the political left in this country. While some may consider his talks frightening and or extreme, and while he's widely reviled among the left as an alarmist kook and conspiracy theory nut, I always find Jones' pronouncements of interest. Oftentimes they're quite humorous, besides everything else, and mostly having merit, whether or not you accept all of his assertions. Play soundbite two, please.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
The world as you know it is ending. The Great Reset is the plan to establish a planetary world government to carry out the end of the industrial age and the end of the human era. We are looking at the post-Homo sapiens sapien era. And it all began with the launch of the COVID virus as the pretext to bring in a medical worldwide dictatorship controlled by the United Nations. They have no intention of allowing the American people to take the republic back after their coup of 2020 and the stolen election. That's why they plan to launch a new lockdown that will stretch all the way through next year and the midterm elections in 15 months so they can use mail-in ballots again to steal it. They can be stopped, but there's not much time. In all of recorded history, it is documented that elites routinely decide to cull the general population because they don't want to look at us. They want to go to the lake, they want to go to the mountains, they want to be able to go where they want and not look at the lower classes. And that's all this is. The globalists are buying up all the private islands. They're getting nation states to shut up general tourism. All of these carbon taxes are about shutting the general public down while the globalists live like kings. It's parasitic, it's evil. But if we lie down and let them dominate us and let them teach us that we're bad and dirty and we have to wear these face masks and all the rest of it, we deserve what we get. These people are psychotics. They're beyond selfish and they are your mortal enemies. And the Great Reset is the end of our world and the beginning of theirs. Are we going to let them have our planet and have our children's future? Look in the mirror and ask yourselves a question. I come to you with extremely grave tidings. And I'm going to have to lay out some really, really, really sad, frightening, disgusting things here, but that's got to be done because it's our main chance at stopping the globalist. That said, everything I'm going to lay out here is on record. Our enemies are extremely arrogant, and they have bragged about every facet and point of their operation. It is truly the globalist world now, and we're just living in it. And if they have their way, we won't be living in it for long. This entire controlled collapse is not to just get control of humanity. It is to get full control over humanity to carry out an orderly, forced depopulation that includes not just sterilization through chemicals in the food and water and the destruction of the family and the chemical castration of boys, but physically being taken to work camps and worked to death and or shot in the back of the head. So I'm going to lay this out for you right now as best I can. And I just beg that you get this information, every member of Congress you can, every legislature you can, every mayor, every city council person, every decision maker, because we have a very good chance of stopping this if people realize that I've been right 99% before because I'm going off their own battle plans, their own war games, and that I'm not just right about what their plans are, I'm right about how to stop them. I've made it my life's work to study these people. Okay. First off, let's cover this. This is an endless global lockdown that is designed to, over time, only get tighter. They have the illusion of loosening it from time to time, but that will be for just a few weeks or a few months maximum. Australia, Canada, places like Germany and France, they are ahead of us in the game because they're under deeper authoritarian control. And so they are, again, a year or so ahead of us. Everything you see there is now coming here. As I told you a year and a half ago, what you see happening in Europe now will be here in a year to 2 years. And it's here. Biden is set within 2 weeks to announce a new nationwide lockdown, just as they did a year and a half ago. The big corporations are already leading it, with big tech and others already saying don't come into work and already basically locking down and saying no one who hasn't taken the experimental shot can come into work. You see all the major sports franchises, the NFL, they're all doing it. That's what globalism is corporate world governance being enforced. And so within 2 weeks, this is from sources inside the government, but I don't need to have those sources. You can see all the preconditioning, all the chatter everywhere. They will then start announcing another lockdown, and the lockdown of non-essential small businesses to further bankrupt those and consolidate power for the Fortune 100 who've doubled and tripled their profits in the last year and a half, and of who have been directing, again, the planetary lockdowns that are also causing massive deaths in the tens of millions across the world. So never forget that a collapse here means total death in the third world. And then, of course, those giant masses of people are then organized by the UN into refugee camps and then brought into the first world as a new political permanent underclass they control. But I digress. The big takeaway here is that they're going to bring the lockdown back this fall, and they're going to extend it through the winter, blaming the unvaccinated, even though none of the facts show that. I'll cover that in a moment. They will then quasi remove the controls for people that accept internet passports, medical passports, tracker systems on their phones, people that accept to be enrolled in a face scan handprint program that, quote, has more security, will be given the highest rating in the new social credit score rollout that is already taking place. Now, why is all this being done? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Consolidate power, more control, put the UN in charge, set up the censorship bureaus to block anybody telling the truth about what's happening or anybody pointing out the dangers and deaths and illnesses caused by the vaccines. This is all just the first phases of going operational. So they went from beta to operational, but this is operational beta. And they went from pure beta into the first operational phase where they're just gauging and testing different systems of control around the world. They admit this with top think tanks, behavioral psychology brigades, literally, of the military. All the major militaries are involved other than the Russians. And they are just moving against us with this PSYOP and then always tweaking it and fine-tuning it. But, again, this is all in the United States being done, and every other authoritarian regime likes it as well because it gives them power, so that as the midterms approach in only 15 months, they will have the pretext yet again to have the fake millions of mail-in ballots. And Biden, who's declared the climate emergency, and Biden, who's declared this COVID emergency, will be able to circumvent federal and state laws, they believe, and stop the giant populist Republican landslide that every metric shows is about to happen.
These statements make sense to me, but it's my hope that enough Americans have woken up to what we are facing, that resistance to more economy-killing lockdowns and the like will be strongly resisted this time. While you may have seen the swarm of lockstep news reports lately by the mainstream Marxist mouthpiece media that the new so-called Delta variant of COVID-19 virus is bringing on a new epidemic caused largely by unvaccinated people, more observers are beginning to challenge this. Among them, conservative commentator Dick Morris. On his Lunch Alert program broadcast from his website, dickmorris.com, August 5, Morris says President Joe Biden is crying wolf about the COVID Delta variant. Play soundbite 3, please.
Remember in the 60s, they used to say, suppose they gave a war and nobody came? Well, that's kind of what's happening now with the Delta variant of the COVID virus. Everybody gets it that while this is very transmittable and causes hospitalizations, it tends not to kill people. The death rates are very low, and there's no indication that it's causing a Delta spike. But yet the left is going into its usual drill about close everything down, mask everything up, shut everything down. It's becoming apparent that that is not necessary now. politically, it leaves Biden and the Democrats stranded because they have to go with the alarmist reaction the left is insisting upon. But yet the bulk of the country isn't coming along because they see the reality that that is not now necessary. So you're getting all kinds of pushback on things like mandatory vaccinations and passports to get into restaurants and stuff. And the average American that went along with these restrictions in the past and did not rebel at them now is really not falling in line. And I think this creates a new political reality that the Democrats have to deal with.
Well, we will see. Okay. Now for a quick update on the Arizona 2020 election forensic audit and the efforts in other key swing states that decided the election to institute these same forensic election audits. There is one, of course, moving forward in Georgia as I speak. As you may know, while the auditors have completed their careful analysis of the paper ballots of the 2020 election in Arizona, which revealed that very likely more than 107,000 of those ballots are fraudulent, Maricopa County, Arizona election officials and Dominion Voting Systems, which is, I understand, essentially owned now by the Communist Chinese Party, and their voting machines were used in Maricopa County. As I said, both Dominion and the Maricopa County, Arizona election officials are refusing to turn over additional material subpoenaed by the state Senate. These items include backup security logs, because I believe the main security logs were illegally deleted, routers, which should show who illegally breached the county's voter registration server, and envelopes or images for the paper ballots. This action has prompted Arizona senators to call for a criminal investigation into the county and Dominion. Here's an audit update from Arizona GOP Chairwoman Dr. Kelly Ward, broadcast on Rumble.com and elsewhere, July 30. Not much more has happened since then regarding the standoff between the Arizona Senate and Maricopa County and Dominion. Play soundbite 4, please.
Hello, everyone. It is time for the daily update from the Republican Party of Arizona. I am your chairwoman, Dr. Kelly Ward. I'm going to give you the latest news on the full forensic audit of the Maricopa County general election. And first thing is that the machine recount of the ballots is complete. Now, if you remember, the audit team conducted a full hand count of the nearly 2.1 million ballots just a few weeks ago. Then, as a double check, maybe a triple check, they brought in machines that count the actual number of paper ballots. Not Dominion machines that tabulate votes, but paper counting machines that count pages. They did this double, triple check of the number of pieces of paper used in the 2020 election. The ballots are currently being returned to Maricopa County, and they are being transferred to the county treasurer's office since the auditors are finished with this portion, the evaluation of the paper ballots. Now, I want you to know that this is completely normal. The county treasurer is the final legal custodian of ballots as required by Arizona state law. The audit team is working on their analysis and on their report. Well, as much as they can do based on the information the Senate's received in response to their fully legal legislative subpoena, what they've received so far from the county. Now, the Senate had to issue new subpoenas in the last couple of days, and we're looking forward to the audit team processing the information that we must get from those new subpoenas. It includes some old data and new. Voters deserve and demand a full audit shining a light on the good and on the bad in the 2020 election. These new subpoenas require that the routers or the information from them, including the Splunk logs, the ballot envelopes themselves, or at least the images of them, and all passwords, access keys, and tokens required to examine the tabulating machines be turned over to the Arizona State Senate by August 2nd. Maricopa County said they don't have access to those tokens and they don't have those passwords. Only their election vendor does. That's why the state Senate, wisely in my view, has subpoenaed Dominion, the voting machine vendor. It may be why Dominion has spent the months between the election and today threatening anyone who dares to mention their name or who questions what they did or didn't do during the 2020 election. They've been trying to chill this. Their very own documents state that their systems are fully auditable. In fact, it is one of the four main points they use to sell their products to counties, states, and other unsuspecting people. If they're so proud of what they do, why are they obstructing this at every turn? What are they actually hiding? Meanwhile, at the same time, while all this is going on, the former Maricopa County Recorder, radical liberal Democrat Adrian Fontes, who now works in elections in Pima County, that sounds safe, and who would love to control the whole shebang as your next Secretary of State, he appeared before a congressional committee. Of course, the committee, which swamp scum Democrats run, let him bloviate about how we don't need to examine our elections process. It's perfect in his opinion. Anyone who believes that should never be anywhere near the office of Secretary of State. And by the way, we cannot and we will not let that happen. I think Fontes should have been asked something like this. Mr. Fontes, why are there thousands of duplicated ballots? The ballots made when an original ballot is just too damaged to run through a Dominion machine. Why? Why, Mr. Fontes, don't each of these ballots have a matching serial number that matches the original ballot? After all, Mr. Fontes, state law in Arizona requires that. And if you don't believe me about that state law, you can look it up in Arizona Revised Statutes, Section 16.6.21. If there are any fact checkers out there who want to dispute the law, let me know. Even the Arizona Elections Procedures Manual, published by another radical leftist Democrat, Katie Hobbs, that manual requires it. It's on page 202. Look it up, fact checkers. Do you think that those members of Congress or their lapdog media would ever ask him something substantive like that, let alone want to hear what his answer would be to that question? We know they wouldn't, but I know you would, and so would I. Now, last but not least, and I know this is a long update, but please stick with me. The fake news media is trying to make a story out of private groups helping to fund costs associated with the audit. Now, the media first called the audit a Republican audit. Wrong. Then they worked to mislead the public by belittling the audit, belittling the auditors, and even attacking the Arizona State Senate by calling it a fraudit. Wrong again. They celebrate silencing social media accounts related to the audit. Now today, they are big mad. They're big mad because people just like you have contributed to groups who will not allow our elections to be stolen. And those groups are making sure that the audit team has the equipment and the manpower needed to make sure that this audit is completed and that they're well prepared to audit elections all over our country. No wonder there's so much fear. Now, we want election integrity, and the press wants to gaslight America. It is just plain wrong. So we will continue this fight, and we will finish America's audit in Maricopa County, and we look forward to America's audits with an S in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and more. Never forget, here at the Republican Party of Arizona, we will not stop in the effort to restore confidence in our elections right here. And right here, it is always America first. I'll see you next time.
And one of the big concerns for me amongst this election audit movement is that it has come to light through numerous reports in the alternative media that essentially Communist China or entities associated with Communist China bought a controlling interest of some $400 million of Dominion right before last year's election. But even before that, their vendors had been doing contract testing and other services for the voting machines and their software of Dominion, as reported by Mike Lindell, alleged anyway, in his complaint, in his lawsuit against Dominion. So it's been brought out that the CCP and its cyber people, cyber experts, are intimately familiar with the Dominion machines and its software. And this further gives credence to Lindell's contention that the CCP hacked into those machines and flipped enough votes in the key swing states, all of which use Dominion machines, to flip votes cast from Trump to Biden. And about over half a million of them, and that was enough in themselves, despite all the mail-in ballot fraud allegations, to have swung the election for Biden. Well, anyway, meanwhile, efforts are moving forward in the other swing states of Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, as well as other states, to implement similar full forensic election audits. And among all this stuff about the examination of the elections, again, is it not a national security issue that communist China appears to own the voting machines and software used in 40% of the U.S. states? Anyway, as I said, as you might expect, the Democrats, Rhino Republicans, and their allies among the media and globalists continue to fight these efforts every step of the way while hysterically claiming such audits are a waste of time and are actually damaging to the country. Here's a statement, August 3, from President Trump regarding a new report by election analyst Seth Keschel. He is a former U.S. Army cybersecurity expert, I believe, claiming that the true election vote numbers show Trump clearly and decisively won the 2020 election. Here's yet another source says. Here's what Trump said. Quote, highly respected Army intelligence captain Seth Keschel has just released his report on national fraud numbers with respect to the 2020 presidential election. I don't personally know Captain Keschel, but these numbers are overwhelming, election changing, and according to Keschel, could be even bigger in that they do not account for cyber flipping of votes. They show I won the election by a lot. Now watch the Democrats coalesce, defame, threaten, investigate, jail people, and do whatever they have to keep the truth from surfacing. And let the Biden administration continue to get away with destroying our country. The irregularities and outright fraud of this election are an open wound to the United States of America. Something must be done. Immediately, end quote. You may also be aware that election fraud warrior and MyPillow.com CEO Mike Lindell is hosting a national cyber symposium this week on August 10th, 11th, and 12th to be live stream broadcast from his website, frankspeech.com. Lindell intends to provide further evidence supporting his contention that communist China hacked Dominion voting machines used in all the swing states on and around Election Day 2020 and flipped more than 500,000 votes cast for Trump to Joe Biden, which were enough, as I said, in themselves to hand the election to Biden. And this despite all the evidence of fraudulent ballots cast in these states for Biden. At least one observer believes the cyber symposium is a mistake and that Lindell is being set up to fail by a deep state plot, and that his evidence will not be accepted by the courts ultimately. Obviously, Lindell doesn't agree with this. That is not to say, however, that China didn't hack our election, but that the proof of that alleged event will not be acceptable to authorities. I say let the American people see the evidence and decide for themselves. Ultimately, if enough of the population sides with us about election fraud, our governmental authorities will be compelled to take appropriate action. At least that is the sincere hope. On the other hand, if Lindell is wrong, let those people decide about that too. Finally today, I want to read you an opinion article posted August 2 by anti-communist researcher and commentator Trevor Loudon on his website, trevorloudon.com. That's TrevorLoudon.com. Also on Loudon's website, by the way, is an article on what's called the Great Reset. You heard reference that earlier in the soundbite featuring Alex Jones. The Great Reset is the global business and government elite's plan to radically transform the U.S. and other nations into slave states of a world government. The article I'm about to read from is by Thomas C. Wigand, who states he was trained as a lawyer and hails from Florida. He's also the author of the book Communiques from the Vast Right-Wing Conspiracy. This is available on Kindle and in paperback. The article is titled Undo the Coup and is subtitled We Must All Be Digital Paul Revere's. The article begins, many have been tamping down hope that the duly elected president, Donald J. Trump, can be returned from exile and restored to office. Many of those poo-pooing the idea that the legitimate president can be reinstated may be acting in good faith, but most are not. They are trying to make the installation of the unelected Biden-Harris junta a fait accompli and trying to cause a critical mass of the public to just move on, even those who suspect that the election was stolen. Key to the bad guys' efforts has been the immediate and near-universal media and politician of both parties' mantra that 2020 was a free and fair election. This big lie is increasingly vulnerable thanks to the audits underway in Maricopa County, Arizona, and elsewhere, and the courageous work of Mike Lindell. The media and politicians have been complicit in a conspiracy of silence to suppress coverage of the audits. They're already signaling that plan B for this conspiracy is to try to, at least, discredit the audit results once they are released, memory-holing the fact that a not-so-long-ago Democrat-leaning documentary, Kill Chain, decried the cyber vulnerabilities of our election machines. We're already being subjected to mischaracterizations that the auditors are incompetent and or partisan, or that the results are flawed. Some cite the lack of clear procedural avenues to restore the duly elected president, given the unprecedented circumstances. The procedural question is true to a point, but think about it. We are supposed to leave a fraudulent regime in office merely because that procedural, merely because the procedural steps for a duly elected administration were, on paper, followed? That is ridiculous on its face. Others will express lack of confidence that the U.S. Supreme Court, which up until now has demonstrated alliance with the November 3 coup, is capable of acting, actually dispensing justice, a concern not without merit, to be sure. Others surmise that the deep state, many of whose players are enemies domestic, potentially face conviction for treason and execution over their involvement with the November 3 coup, and so are highly motivated to oppose any counter-revolution, and are simply too powerful and will not allow it to happen. In addition to firing squads, perhaps we could offer those convicted of treason the option of suffocation by a MyPillow held over their face. Which he's being facetious here, but pretty serious stuff to joke about, but anyway. He continues. Yes, we are on the post-coup side of the November 3 coup by an alliance of enemies, foreign and domestic. We have, at least for now, lost the high ground. That is the White House. Yes, the post-coup side of the November 3 coup has made undeniable that all or nearly all of our major institutions are thoroughly corrupt, with many individuals and institutions directly compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. Yes, there are no clear institutional pathways for reinstatement of the legitimate president, and presumably several members of Congress as well. The Founding Fathers did not envision that we would be subjected to a color revolution. But let us not get wrapped around the axle on lack of existing procedural steps. Job number one is proving that the election was stolen and making sure that the majority of the American public is aware of this. Once the election fraud is exposed, the mechanism by which the November 3 coup was accomplished, revealed, must not the conventional wisdom shift to by what moral or legal grounds can an unelected CCP puppet regime be allowed to remain in office and all its actors from and since installed not declared null and void? From there, we can work out the procedural mechanisms for restoring our constitutional republic. Mike Lindell, who may well go down in history as one of the greatest heroes, our greatest heroes, at least on par with Paul Revere, is about to show the receipts, as he calls it. He has scheduled a cyber symposium for August 10 through 12, 2021. He says that he has internet packet information proving that, amongst others, the Chinese Communist Party and enemies domestic not just interfered with the elections in all 50 states, but indisputably stole the presidential election, along with House and Senate seats. Mike Lindell is so confident of his data, he's offering a $5 million reward to any duly accredited cyber expert who can disprove it. The entire event is going to be live streamed so that people around the world can watch and monitor. Mr. Lindell is out of his own pocket has paid for ads to promote the event. This is not a stupid man. Would he do this publicly and risk both losing that sum and being very publicly humiliated without having done his due diligence to make sure that he had the goods? By the time of the cyber symposium, or soon after, we'll likely have at least preliminary results from the Maricopa County, Arizona audit. That audit has already been the catalyst for forensic audits in other of the battleground states that mysteriously stopped counting ballots on November 3, 4, 2020. If the CCP puppet regime is allowed to stay in power through the 2022 election, much less the 2024 election, subversion and fundamental transformation of our constitutional republic will be irreparable. We will have crossed the point of no return on the way to being a socialist, communist, or other form of totalitarian country. Paul Revere wrote to warn his fellow citizens of approaching danger. Many of our fellow citizens remain unaware of the approaching danger. The media and politicians have already signaled that they are going to try, A, to suppress knowledge of the emerging evidence of the steal by avoiding coverage of it, and B, where that is not possible, report not facts but characterizations, that is, debunked conspiracy theory, amateur, to dissuade people from even considering the evidence and then weighing in on its merits. Since November 3, 2020, the news outlet Wheat and Chaff has sorted itself out by how it reported or declined to report information about the steal. Fox News, for instance, showing that it is, at a minimum, an accessory to the November 3 coup and the subsequent cover-up of it. Sources have shown we can rely upon them are, listed in alphabetical order, Bannon's War Room / Real America's Voice, reruns and highlights available on Rumble and after the broadcast, Conservative Treehouse, Epoch Times, which I would intervene and say, by the way, has been hailed as perhaps America's greatest newspaper now by Steve Bannon, former Trump advisor. Anyway, getting back to the article, he says another source is frankspeech.com, which is going to broadcast this. It's Mike Lindell's new website, going to broadcast a cyber symposium in a few days. Gateway Pundit, National Pulse, One America News Network, Revolver News. There are others, but this is an excellent start, the author says. Continues. It is highly recommended that you check the websites at least once daily and consume as many of the broadcasts as time allows. This is how we can bypass and nullify the media and politician conspiracy of silence. It is up to us to woke our fellow citizens to the reality of the coup executed against our constitutional republic. If we achieve a critical mass of awareness amongst our fellow citizens, and if enough of us ask for help from our God, our land can be healed and our duly elected president reinstated. If the duly elected president is not reinstated after the November 3 coup is proven, will patriots assume the role of counter-revolutionaries and our current cold civil war turn hot? It would seem that the deep state and its coup conspirators are afraid of that very thing and scheming to counter it. Let us pray not. The window for elected officials to continue peddling the big lie that there was a free and fair election is rapidly closing. The longer they delay aligning with the truth, the greater their culpability for being accessories, at a minimum, to the November 3 coup and treason inherent in it. With God's help, May they come to realize that the exposure of what they did signals that their coup has thus failed, that bloodshed would be futile. We'll repent their sins to our Lord, and we'll stand down as our divinely inspired nation is resurrected as a constitutional republic. Pray for such a result, and do your part as a digital Paul Revere to help make it happen. End quote. Well, I agree with a lot of what the author states here, although penalties for treason would have to be decided by the authorities, of course. But as I said earlier, and as the author here outlines, there's no doubt about the sobering and frightening realities we are facing today with this stolen election and coup to take over our republic and turn us into slaves. We must not let that happen. One big thing we can all do that, if enough of us engage in it, will have a powerful and telling effect, sending a strong message to the CCP, is to boycott Chinese communist-made products as much as possible, including Chinese communist-made products of U.S. companies. I know at times this can be difficult. Sometimes I need a product and buy something I was unable to determine had been made in communist China. If it was, I try my best not to buy any more of that product. I have, since the 2020 election, declined to buy upwards of $1,000 worth of Chinese communist-made products. There are at least 80 million Trump supporters in the USA alone. If all of us were to do this, it would be a devastating blow to the CCP. Again, I don't want to hurt the communist Chinese people, but neither do I want to be taken over and enslaved by the CCP. The CCP would be far better off backing off its current campaign of aggression toward the U.S., which includes widespread spying and theft of intellectual property, destructive trade policies, and a big buildup of their military, which, by the way, could be used to invade Taiwan, which they are threatening to do. We must not let that happen. Taiwan is a key strategic ally, and we must be working with our own allies, Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, hopefully the Philippines, maybe in Vietnam, the UK, and others to intensify security to protect Taiwan, among many other things. I truly want peace and prosperity for everyone, but again, not at the cost of losing everything I have and becoming a slave. Well, that's it for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show posted in the next few days on the Jim Benson Show page at bbsradio.com. Have a great rest of your day and evening.